The following broadcast is a presentation of the Mountford Free Methodist Church in Decatur, Illinois. Join us Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. or visit us on the web at decaturfmc.org.
Well, I just got back last night from Michigan. I was over there in the Free Methodist Church. We had the National Prayer Summit that some of you guys might remember. The Newtons, they came and preached here maybe 7 or 8 months ago, right before I came. So they put on this great prayer summit. God gave them a vision probably about 15 years ago, that every Free Methodist church would be a place of prayer. And so they're going around encouraging, trying to teach people how to pray. And so here's the great stuff about the prayer summit. This is the third one. The first one was just over about 100 people. The second one was about 250 people. This one was 600 plus people. Had people from about 30 different states that came. 150 plus pastors were there. And so it was just a blessed time to be there. So I am coming back to you revived and rejuvenated and ready to see what God has for us. One of my favorite movies, I love to watch movies. When I grew up, one of my favorite movies to watch was Karate Kid. Do we have any Karate Kid fans out there? Maybe some of you. I loved Karate Kid. And in Karate Kid 1, especially at the end, there were these bad guys, and you were just rooting against them. And then there was Daniel. And Daniel was kind of this underdog, and they were doing everything they could to try to get him down and to try to discourage him or to try to hurt him. So at the very end, he only had one leg left, and he put his leg up in the air, and he swipe kicked the other guy. And I stood up in my chair as a kid and say, "Yeah, get him, Daniel." And I was so excited. And then Karate Kid 2 came out. And Karate Kid 2 started right where Karate Kid 1 ended. And so we had this bad coach who's mad at losing, and he's taking it out on his kids. He's taking it out in the parking lot. And so Mr. Miyagi looks over, and he's not going to let this happen anymore. So Mr. Miyagi goes over to their coach. And he talks to him, and this coach then tries to pick a fight with Mr. Miyagi and tries to punch him, and Mr. Miyagi goes out of his way, and his hand goes through the windshield. And then Mr. Miyagi was able to get him down, and we knew that he was one punch away, and what he did was he chose to honk his nose and let him go. And Daniel turned to Mr. Miyagi, and he said, "You could have killed him, couldn't you?" And Mr. Miyagi said, "Hi." And Daniel said, "Well, why didn't you then?" Mr. Miyagi said these words that as a kid even impacted me. He said, "Because, Danielson, for a person with no forgiveness in heart, living even worse punishment than death." That's true. For someone who does not forgive, living is even worse punishment than death. Why? Because unforgiveness keeps you hostage, tears you apart inside. It's like this hovering that's over you that you can't shake. I was just talking to someone even this morning who said, I just had breakfast with a bunch of gentlemen, and all of them were talking about how they have this unforgiveness in their heart that they're going to take to their grave. And the truth is, it's not just those gentlemen. It's many people. Maybe some of you. And maybe you might not say it in that way, but the truth is in your actions it says it. Because there's still this unforgiveness or this bitterness or this rage or this anger that's in your heart that's driving you that you just can't shake. I've had too many conversations with too many people saying, but you don't understand what so-and-so did. I will never be able to forgive. It's sad to me because I know how hard that must be. We've been going through Colossians chapter 3. And in Colossians chapter 3, we've been talking about a couple of lists. For the first month, we've been looking at the lists of things that we need to get rid of. And what's interesting about this list of things that we need to get rid of is several things in this list can cause our unforgiveness. For instance, it says these are things that we need to get rid of, that we need to take off: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Several of these things are the root parts about why we can't forgive. We have this anger or rage. We have this bitterness that's growing inside of us, and it just continues to escalate. And it seems like every day it's like a snowball that keeps on growing and festering and getting bigger and bigger, and where we just can't forgive. But then in Colossians 3, we've read it many times every week for the last 2 months. This is the last one we're talking about. In Colossians 3, it talks about the things that we need to clothe ourselves with. It says, now clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Now, this is what it says in verse 13 that we're going to talk about. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. But as I said, unforgiveness can keep us hostage. It can keep us trapped. It can lead to broken relationships, to broken homes, to division within the body of Christ. But here's the thing. On the flip side, forgiveness brings healing and brings freedom. Just last week, a lady came up to me and said, Pastor Paul, there was someone in my life that I struggled with forgiving. And I was able to, by the strength of God, write a letter basically just saying, I forgive you. And she said, right when I put it in the mailbox and shut the door, instantly I felt that release. I felt the freedom. You see, forgiveness brings freedom. Here's some scripture for you. All talk about forgiveness. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Psalm 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Matthew 6:12, a part of the Lord's Prayer, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. All of those talk about how God forgives us, how we are forgiven through Christ. That's not the direction where I feel like we are headed this morning. That sermon is next week. This sermon today is about how we need to forgive one another. But here, first we have to realize we are forgiven. We are forgiven by God. But then here are some more scripture for you. Mark 11:25. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you of your sins. Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Church, these are powerful words. These are hard words. I mean, especially that last line. If you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. But the truth is, most people want the grace for ourselves, but we want justice for others. Have you ever, you probably have done this, I've done this before, where maybe if you've gotten pulled over for speeding, your first thought in your head is, oh, please, just give me grace. Just give me a warning. Let me out of it. But the next time you see someone fly past you, you know what your thoughts are. Oh, go get them, right? We want grace for ourselves, but so often we want justice for others. This is kind of hypocritical thinking, isn't it? But how so often we come before God and we want His grace, we want His forgiveness, but on the flip side, we can't forgive our neighbor. We can't forgive a loved one for what they said or what they did. Is there something or someone in your life that have hurt you or said something to you? Or did something to you that you are still holding on to? That there's bitterness. There's anger there. People, the words of the Lord. If we can't forgive others, how could God forgive us? It's that simple, but yet that hard, it's that hard. Unforgiveness only hurts you. It haunts you. It keeps you hostage. Is there someone in your life that you need to forgive? That you need to let go of? Let go of the bitterness or the anger. This unforgiveness is almost like drinking the poison and wanting the other person to die because of it. It can haunt you. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Matthew 18. This is a parable. I'm going to give you kind of the follow-up of what's going on before Jesus says this parable. But I'm going to allow the parable to speak for itself, because it does. I'm probably going to read it twice to you, because maybe we won't catch it the first time, but might catch it the second. But here in Matthew 18, it first starts with the disciples kind of arguing among themselves and coming to Jesus. Which of us are the greatest? Jesus has to be so frustrated. And then Jesus goes on to teach them several things in Matthew 18. And then right before this parable that we read, Jesus is teaching them how we need to treat one another. And Jesus talks about if someone has mistreated you, if someone has done something against you, what you do is you go to them and you talk to them first. So then this opens a question up for Peter that we see here in verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sinned against me? Before we go on here, let me tell you, back then, the rabbis would always say, you forgive up to 3 times. That was kind of their thing that they said. Now, here, Peter is asking the question, and this is what Peter says right after that. Up to 7 times? Basically, Peter is trying to be generous here. Peter is saying, I want to look good. Guess what, Jesus? Up to 7 times? I'm better than them. But this is Jesus' answer. Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. His answer is basically this. And his answer is not telling us, oh, so we need to start keeping a track record, right? And once we get to 77 times, then we're good and we don't have to forgive anymore. No, that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, you forgive always. There's never a number that you get to that you don't forgive. It's this endless number. And then he goes on to say this parable. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay you back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could not pay the debt, or until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Hard story to hear. Because for some of us, this is too accurate. Because for some of us, we want the forgiveness, but yet we don't want to forgive. I know how hard it is. Many of you guys heard the story of me and my dad. It took me 4 years to be able to look him in the eye and forgive him. It took a while. But once I was able to forgive him, I felt this release. I felt this freedom. And you too can feel that same thing. You might say, I don't know if I can do it. And I've said this before. You're right. You can't. But the power of Jesus living inside of you can. He can give you the strength. Why? Because he forgives you. When we talk about unforgiveness, we have to realize there's only one person that we can control, and that's ourselves. We can't control the other person. A couple years ago, I had a teenage girl come to me in tears because she had a father who cheated on her mom. And she came to me and she said, I can't forgive him. I can't do it. And the truth is, he continues to live in that sin. And she even said, and I especially can't forgive him if he continues to live this way. But this is what I told her. You can't control him. You can only control you. And the Bible says that we have to forgive. What if he never stops? Does that mean you could carry this unforgiveness in your heart for the rest of your life? You can't control him and his actions, but you can control yours. Forgive. About 10 years ago, I was at this conference. It was a fairly small conference where at the end of it, This was probably more than 10 years ago, 15, 20 years ago. At the end of the conference, they just offered a time of sharing some testimonies of what God is doing throughout the conference. There was this younger gentleman who stood up. There was probably at this conference, there's probably about 75 people there. Or so. So this younger gentleman stood up and he said, I did some really bad things. Even this week, I did some really, really bad things. He said, I have this ex-girlfriend. And my anger and rage got out of control. And he said, I came before God know what I did wrong. And he said, last night, I felt his forgiveness. He sat down, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, it's powerful stuff. And then I thought to myself, I hope he has someone to help him, to lead him through this. But right when I was thinking that, there was an older gentleman who stood up. And his first words were, that girl was my daughter. And I said, uh-oh. And he said, I wasn't going to come because I heard that you were going to be here. And I didn't know what I was going to do. But with tears in his eyes, he said, if God can forgive you, so can I. And he embraced him. Another story of a great friend of mine. When he was in high school, he was not a Christian at the time. He was dating this girl who always went to church. And she became pregnant at a fairly early age, about at the age of 16. He was scared because they were trying to keep it from her parents as long as they could until her parents found out before they told her. And he got a phone call and a message from the father of saying, come over to my house. I need to talk to you. He said, as a 16-year-old kid, everything I wanted to do was drive the other way. But he said, I drove, and I went to his house. And when I came in, he didn't point fingers. He didn't do anything else. He hugged me and embraced me. And he said, we will get through this. I forgive you. And it was because of that action from this man, who is now his father-in-law, that led this person to Christ. You see, if God can forgive you, he can give you the power to forgive others. Forgive as you are forgiven. Last words of this story once again. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Is there someone in your life that you need to forgive? Last night, while I was here in prayer, I don't know why, but I felt strongly that God was saying, maybe there's someone here that might need to forgive the church. And I don't know if it's this church, I don't know if it's a church in your past or whatever it may be. That's the word that I got from God. Maybe the church or someone in the church has wronged you. Maybe you're sitting here and there's someone else in the church that you have not forgiven. The words of the Lord, forgive, as God has forgiven you. The church is not a perfect place. Why? Because we are the church and we're not perfect. I'm not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. but we need to offer grace and forgiveness. I've been hurt by the church in my past. I was able to forgive the church. There are many people today who will not step into a church building because of some past hurts. So maybe that's you today. I don't know. Again, it was just what God spoke to me here last night. But the same message, forgive. As God has forgiven you. Let's pray. Jesus, I know how hard it is to forgive. But I also know the freedom that comes in forgiveness. Lord, if there's someone here, they know who they are. And if they have someone in their mind that they just haven't been able to forgive, maybe we have someone here who has that same mindset of that older gentleman of saying, I'm going to carry this to my grave. Lord, will you speak truth into their hearts? And may you give them the power, your power, to be able to forgive. Whatever the circumstances, help us to forgive one another. There are going to be times, maybe even this week, that someone's going to say something or do something. Help us to forgive as you have forgiven us. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing this last song, the altars are open. If you just need to come and try to find strength to forgive, the altars are open to come, or if you just need to spend time with the Lord. But as we sing this last song, this is a song we also sang on Wednesday, because this week, Reverend Billy Graham passed away. This is a song that he ended all of his crusades with. A song that can speak to us, speak to you as well, just as I am. Let's sing this together, and the altars are open as we come.